Please accept my thanks for the opportunity that was extended to me once again to be with you these few days, being a part of the teaching program of this good congregation. It is a real blessing and a real honor to accept your invitation and to be with you in this special effort. I want to express my thanks also to the elders for the fellowship that we have in preaching the gospel among Latin American people. Most of you know that I am Hispanic. Most of you know that most of the work that I do is preaching in Spanish. Once in a while, I get the opportunity to preach in English. And it is an honor, and it is a beautiful opportunity. And I want to thank the elders here for the fellowship that we have in the work that we do in Latin America, but locally. Let me say that the theme of this special effort is very simple, taken from a very well-known scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. A very simple advice was given by Paul to the good brethren, brethren that had just obeyed the gospel. And the advice, test all things, hold fast what is good. And what an opportunity we have this morning to listen carefully to what God has to say, and at the same time, to test it. I remember hearing many, many years ago when I first started preaching that this very well-known gospel preacher was starting a gospel meeting with a very well-known church. And the first brother that got up to lead the opening prayer that night made the statement in his prayer that all of us be willing to investigate what brother so-and-so will be preaching here tonight. After the assembly, several brethren go up to him and he says, "Do you have any doubt as to what brother so-and-so will be preaching during the meeting? You said that we needed to investigate and to test everything that he's going to be preaching. Is there an issue here?" You know, no, there's not an issue here. We are commanded. We are instructed. We are encouraged to test everything. Examine it carefully. Make sure that we are understanding God's word and then obeying it. So those are the simple rules of this gospel meeting. But let me begin by telling you exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. There is not a congregation of brethren around the world that is not made up of older and younger brethren. And one of the beautiful facts that we have in the Bible, especially when we go into the New Testament, and we find examples of churches being encouraged to work in unity, to work in accordance with God's will, we don't find any word written classifying the members in a local congregation. Letters are written to local churches. They are general in content. And when these letters were written, they were addressed to Christians, just like us. And the encouragement that they were given can well be classified as general encouragement, general instructions. And once in a while, instructions are given to a special group of brethren in a local congregation. They could be the older, the mature, the stronger in the faith group. Or they may be those that are just beginning, the younger generation, if you please. Let me refer you to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, first of all, there in the introduction. Paul makes no bones about what he wants to talk and to whom he wants to talk when he says, to all the saints. That's all we know. But then when he finishes this epistle in chapter 4, verses 21 and 22, he again addresses every saint, all the saints. So we really don't know how many older people were in the congregation at Philippi. We don't know how many young people were there, how many children. But we get a pretty good idea when we go back to the book of Acts in chapter 16, when we learn about Lydia and her family obeying the gospel. And then we also learn of the jailer and his family obeying the gospel. So we already have a pretty good picture of two families that made up the church at Philippi. And we get the idea, or we can conclude from that, that here you have a congregation made up of different ages. And this congregation at Philippi is encouraged to work together in unison, to be of one accord, to be united, to be productive. So what you see here is older people working with younger people. Now, when Paul wrote to Timothy in his first epistle in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we are referred here to how older Christians ought to treat one another, and younger people how they ought to treat the older people. How they can respect each other. And then you have Titus chapter 2, where there is a division made by the writer of older Christians, younger Christians, and how they ought to respect each other and how they ought to work together as God wants it. So what I'd like to do this morning is to look at some of the things that we find in the Bible. And I want us to understand that there is a place and a good influence of older Christians in a local congregation. Again, let me stress, there is a place for older Christians in a local congregation. There is a certain influence that older Christians have in a local congregation. And this can be explained this way. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. That was way back in the Old Testament. You also find in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. But read, if it is found in the way of righteousness. There is an influence. There is a place for the older man in a congregation. But let us look at another chapter in Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. This is a simple advice that is given to children, to young people, to teenagers, as to how they ought to respect their parents because of their maturity, because of their experience. This is strong language, I know, when he says, do not despise, do not look down at your mother when she is old. Can I say something? We live in a society where people are given to youth. Everybody is looking for the fountain of youth. Everybody wants to stay young. Everybody wants to look young. I was reading not too long ago of the amount of money that is spent around the world by people that are buying every kind of vitamin that is made out there to keep us looking young. I don't have that kind of money. I would love to stay young. And our grandchildren were telling me the other day that they would like for me to live forever. Yeah, I can just imagine how I would look if, I would live forever. But that's a good attitude. I'm glad they looked at us that way, that they would like for us to be around for a long time. Well, this is our society. We are in love with youth. And because of the attitude that we have in our world today, older people are despised, looked down at. And the Bible tells us completely different, that there is a place and a place of importance. Look at chapter 20 and verse 29. Look at the language. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. So, you know, this may put a smile on your face, but yet it is true. That's the way it is. And God made it this way. Now, why are we looking at all of these things? Well, for a certain purpose. Because what I'd like to do this morning is to impress upon your mind the value of wisdom and experience. And I encourage not only the older Christians here, but I encourage the younger Christians, the young people. Take the book of Proverbs. Read it carefully. Read the first 8 chapters of this particular book, and you're going to be impressed with how the writer emphasizes the place of wisdom and experience in the lives of younger people. Look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 of Proverbs. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. What beautiful language. We're impressed with the use of all of these adjectives and these words that impress upon our mind the value of wisdom and understanding. But this is a language that is spoken from a father to a son. And what you have here is wisdom that is found among seniors, older men and women. And this is an experience that has been learned through the years. Children, teenagers, young parents, listen to me. Your father and your mother, your grandfather and your grandmother, and if you have a great-grandfather and a great-grandmother, you are looking at maybe 30, maybe 40 years of experience, and they can speak not only out of the mouth of maturity, but they can speak of experience in such a way that will help you understand life. And if you make the proper application of this wisdom, you're going to do real good. You're going to stay faithful. You're going to be able to direct your steps correctly and be an influence not only to those of your age, but those that will come after you. And then when you become a parent, when you become a grandmother, when you become a grandfather, when you become a great-grandfather, you're going to be able to sit down and talk to your grandchildren and to your children the same wisdom that you learned from them. It is extremely powerful that this be understood. But let me also emphasize this morning that there is also a certain value in strength and innovation. In Proverbs chapter 20 that we noticed a while ago, there in verse 29, when the writer was emphasizing the difference between the older and the younger, Solomon says that the glory of young men is their strength. Who would dare deny that? You know, who would dare deny the physical ability, the ability to work, the ability to do just about anything that a person can do? The older you get, the more limited you are. The older you get, you lose strength and the ability to function physically. But young people, they have not only the ability, the agility, they have the mental capacity, and they have all of these beautiful attributes. I must warn you, young people, when you get older, you will not have the physical ability that you now have. And you see it. Your children, you see this in your parents. You see this in your grandparents. Because this is obvious. We cannot deny this fact. But let me tell you that as parents and as grandparents, we recognize that you have an ability, you have a physical ability, and you have a tremendous mental capacity. But Paul, when he wrote Timothy, he warned Timothy about this, because he makes the statement that physical exercise, it's good just for a while, just for certain things. It profits little, he says. But godliness is profitable for all things. So you have statements like these in the New Testament and in the Old Testament that help us to understand the place, the value of older people and of younger people in our society and in our congregation. Now, why do I say all of this? Because when you have these talents, these attributes, these ought to be put to good use in a local congregation. The older, the wise, the experienced older people working with strong, creative, younger minds of Christians. This is the goal of this good congregation. This is the goal of the elders here, of putting every Christian to work, to use his ability, to use his talent, to use his attribute, to use his maturity, to use his ability to work together as Christians with one another, regardless of the age difference. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Older Christians teaching youth the gospel of Jesus. We don't have time to read all of these scriptures. But some of you, or most of you, I should say, are already familiar with these scriptures that we have in the New Testament concerning the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and pointing out the faith that he had and from whom he had learned this faith, how he had learned this from his mother and grandmother. The importance of older Christians teaching younger people the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only do you have that, you also have older Christians teaching youth the value of good example. When Paul continues his writing to Timothy, he challenges Timothy by reminding him, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers." And he mentions there how a teenager can be an example to others. Well, it is important that older Christians teach teenagers the value of a good example. But you also find the need of older Christians teaching youth the value of respect. These are just simple things that we find in the New Testament. And there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is reminding Timothy how the older should be addressed, how a younger Christian ought to address an older man and to admonish him as a father. When you talk to younger men, talk to them as brothers. When you talk to your mother, talk to women, talk to them as you talk to your mother. When you talk to other girls, to young ladies, talk to them as sisters. And what that is teaching is that there is a certain place of respect in our dealings with one another. Sometimes I get the idea that we're losing. We're losing respect among each other. And how we need to emphasize respect. And I'm not talking about when you go out the church building here, make sure you hold the door open to someone behind you. That's not my point. But respect here is in all of your dealings, in understanding the value of parental advice, how grandparents can help younger people understand the place of respect in the family, in society, at school, in the local congregation. All of these are attributes that help us in dealing with one another. But let me give you another example. Older Christians teaching youth the value of love. And love is not really what we think it is. I hear people use the word love when really they want to use the word like. And we sometimes excuse our loving someone because we say, well, I just don't like him. Maybe I've told you this before. I'm not interested in people liking me. That's okay. If people like me. If they don't like me, that's fine. But you know what I tell people? You better love me. Because God tells me that you need to love me. And I tell myself the same thing. There's people I don't like. And I don't like them because of the way they are. But you know what? I love those people. Because God tells me I must love those people. Regardless of what they do. Dearly beloved, love is greater than like. And we are taught to love one another. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And actually, that whole chapter, like I said earlier, deals with our relationship one with another. But it emphasizes how the older women ought to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Can you imagine? Now, wait a minute. I love my husband. Oh, someone says, I love my children. Can I tell you that's not the emotional love that he's talking about? We already know you loved him because you married him. And we know you love your children because you brought them into this life. The point is that there is something that God commands of you to love that husband, to love that child that you have. And older people, older Christians can teach youth the value that love has in any relationship, especially in a congregation, in a local congregation, and how we can deal and help each other to accomplish God's work. But listen to this. Older Christians teaching youth that tomorrow will be theirs. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote his second epistle to Timothy, there in chapter 4, he speaks to Timothy words of encouragement as to how he ought to preach and why he ought to preach the truth, God's word, etc. And at the very end, he tells him, you fulfill your ministry. And then in the very next word, he says, for I am already being poured out. My departure is at hand. I'm about to die. It's like a father here talking to his son. You know, son, I'm not going to be here. I'm fixing to leave. I'm fixing to die. Who's going to take my place? Who's going to follow me? Who's going to do what he's supposed to do now that I'm gone? I hear good prayers everywhere I go. And I'm going to tell you, I don't hear in prayers of the day what I used to hear when I was younger. I don't hear very many prayers among brethren praying for teenagers, for the younger Christians that will be here tomorrow. And I'm surprised. I'm surprised. I think we know we ought to pray for children. I think I know that we ought to pray for teenagers, for our children and grandchildren. But as older Christians, we need to teach youth that their day is coming. Their tomorrow will bring the responsibilities of leadership in a local congregation. There will be a need of deacons and of elders and of preachers. And there will be a need of wives of elders and wives of preachers and wives of deacons. So the younger generation needs to hear the advice of older Christians to focus upon the future. Because they will be the church of tomorrow. Because they will be the leaders of tomorrow. Because the future will be on their shoulders, their day is coming. Children and teenagers, your day is coming. And older Christians, we need to emphasize on their minds that their day is coming. But let me emphasize something else in our lesson this morning. That youth are called upon to respond to the teachings of the older Christians. When dad and mom teach the son and the daughter the gospel, the son, the daughter, the grandson, the granddaughter, they must respond to the teachings of the gospel, just like Timothy did. And how Paul expresses to him how he had learned his faith from childhood. You have been taught, you have learned, you have responded, you have obeyed. So there is a responsibility that is placed upon the younger people to respond with acceptance of the gospel. But also, young people must respond with affirmation and compliance. I need to read this because when Paul writes to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, I like what he says here to Timothy. Listen, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. You follow that? Now he's just not saying, well, you did what I told you to do. It doesn't say it that way. He makes it a point to emphasize, and I read it again, you have carefully followed my doctrine. What a comment. You've done exactly what I told you to do, but you did it carefully. You put special care, special attention. You respected what I was teaching you. And what this says about Timothy was that he was very devoted to carefully hearing and noticing what Paul was teaching. Young people, this is what God wants you to do. That you listen carefully. that you follow carefully. Read on. Listen, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, my afflictions, which have happened to me at Antioch, etc. You have followed my life. That's what he tells Timothy. You have followed everything that I've done. You have followed it carefully. What a praise. What an honor to pay someone in our congregation to sit down with this young man or this young woman and tell them, you have followed carefully my advice. You have followed carefully my example as an older Christian. And I praise you. I honor you for what you do. Listen to me. It is just not only important that older Christians teach younger Christians, but it is just as important that younger Christians listen and learn from older Christians. Look at their example. Look at their life. Look at their suffering. I can tell you, because I've known these men, these three elders that you have here, their example, their life, it hasn't been easy. Why, Brother Charles can sit down with you for a whole week and tell you about his experiences. Brother Bailey, Brother Ramsey. And if that's not enough, I'll sit with you and I'll talk to you about it. I'll give you my what I know about it. And these are valuable, valuable examples. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about when he mentioned so highly what Timothy had done. Let me close by reading to you, and you can follow along. One of the strongest advices that Paul gave Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. These words, brethren, have real meaning when we look at this whole picture that we're talking about. Now we know what in the world Paul was talking about when he expressed this thought to Timothy. So may I close by just reminding us that there is wise and experienced older Christians working with strong, creative younger Christians everywhere. And because we see this in all churches, I would like to encourage all of us to do likewise. I trust that this lesson will be helpful, because let me tell you, it has helped me in my life as a Christian. Some of us talk about growing up in the church. I was 6 years old when I attended the very first assembly of a brand new Church of Christ in South Texas. 6 years old. And I remember sitting on the very back pew with my mother and my sisters. And I remember as it were today, those men that went up to preach, they passed right there where I was. And I remember exactly what happened that day. That's been 63 years ago. Do the math. I'm 69. I still remember at my age what I did when I was 6 years old. 2 years later, a brother by the name of Bill Reeves held us a gospel meeting in Spanish there. And he pulled me aside and he said, "Reuben, what do you plan to do? 8 years old. What do you mean what I plan to do? I plan to play marbles at the church." Well, that's not what he had in mind. He said, "You need to be a preacher, young man. And the way you can become a preacher is by becoming a Christian." The rest is history. Thank you so much.